In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you here tonight at the Episcopal Church of the Nativity and to those who are watching from home on our YouTube channel. Christmas is a time to value our family and our friends and our faith, to honor and appreciate our loved ones and those who love and honor us. It's a time of celebration, and yet it's also a time of reflection about our Lord being born tonight in the city of Bethlehem. I must admit that this year feels a bit differently about what's going on in the Holy Land. The targeting of our Jewish sisters and brothers by the terrorist organization Hamas on October 7th, 50 years to the date of the prior attack. October 7th is a 9/11 now for the nation of Israel. We also see the continued plight of the Palestinian people who have sought a homeland throughout the 20th and 21st centuries. But the Holy Land is holy because three faiths trace their origins to the historical and theological significance of the land. The three Abrahamic faiths are cousins, if you think about it, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. These three faiths trace their lineage back to the patriarch Abraham and the covenant he had with God around the year 1850, before the Common Era, B.C. At the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem this year, they did not put up a Christmas tree like they normally do. But this year, they didn't feel it was right. So instead, the priest brought into the space where they normally put the tree a pile of rocks to represent the rubble of the war. And on top of the pile of rocks, he placed the baby Jesus. Quite an image. The war and suffering cannot go unnoticed this Christmas in a place where Jesus was born in a manger of straw 2,000 years ago and now on a pile of rocks at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. God weeps at the violence and destruction that people, that we do to each other. And yet this night is a counter to all that, an inoculation, if you will, to the darkness that plagues human beings and our fallenness and our brokenness. Tonight is the story of God being born in a manger, a most humble entry into the world. In our first reading tonight from the prophet Isaiah, we hear a similar theme of darkness and light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. We see this contrast of darkness and light not only in the current news in the Holy Land, but in our scripture and theology from 2,000 years ago. The light of God shines for the Christ child tonight. And we witness the act and work of God firsthand in the birth, the life, the ministry, the teaching, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Our Lord loves us so much that he became incarnate tonight in human flesh, born in a stable. And as people in the 21st century, we always deal with this same contrast, don't we, of light and darkness every day in our lives. And yet, And yet, darkness does not have the final word. And we know what can be possible when we follow Jesus as his disciples, and we know what is to come. Jesus made it very clear. To the thief that repented on the cross, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." God's promise tonight is that each one of us has access in the gift of everlasting life. That one day we too will go to heaven as followers of our Lord. So no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you've done in the past, or are doing in the present, or will do in the future, the light of God can overcome your darkness. We live in that world of and yetness because God is the final answer. God is a God of unconditional love and acceptance. There is darkness, and yet light overcomes the darkness. There is evil in the world, and yet good overcomes evil. There is the inevitability of death, and yet death does not have the final answer, my friends. Everlasting life is the final answer. And this and yetness begins tonight with the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You heard the Christmas collect, which is in your bulletin. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also enjoy him, enjoy God perfectly in heaven. This true light is the incarnation of God. Jesus born not of power or of majesty, but in humility, in a lowly stable on a bed of straw. And the greatest news of all, again, as our colleague says, we may also enjoy God perfectly in heaven. And that is the Christmas message tonight. God bestows his love and blessings on each of us and Christians around the world as we share in the incarnation of our Lord. The message of Christmas is about God loving us and accepting us just the way we are. We are loved more than we can possibly imagine or fathom by a God of grace and love. There is nothing, my friends, that you have done or I have done or we have done in our lives in which God cannot love us. Nothing. We are worthy of that. You are worthy of that. You are loved by God and by Jesus Christ, his Son. So tonight, may God touch each of your hearts and the wonderment and acceptance of that God's love for us, to accept that is manifested in a child born on a bed of straw in a stable. And may God, who sent his angels to proclaim the glad news of the Savior's birth, fill you this season with all joy and make you heralds and messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of love, the gospel of acceptance, the gospel of you. Amen.